The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. I've been taking your calls on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, 770-5633-770-KMED. And one fun survey question that came out the other day, about 3 days ago, survey released, and it was, 2,000 people. Americans of all ages were surveyed, and they're trying to find out, when did you feel an adult? When did you finally think that you were an adult? And it's not just the standard 18. And for me, I was first an adult 18 because I left home at 18. I left home, and a lot of people didn't do that. I didn't go to college, didn't do that. I was just immediately into work, into the broadcast industry, you know, moved out to the West. Lived with my mother for just a few months because she had moved out to the West Coast, San Jose. And then I'm out there, went down in the Barstow and slaving away 60, 70 hours a week for 40 hours worth of pay. It's just the way it goes. But I definitely felt adult at that point because I was responsible for my bills, and I was very poor, too, I seem to recall. I don't know if I realized how poor I was, you know, at that time. Now, sometimes the dumbness of youth, but I felt kind of adult there. But when I got married at 23 and started buying first house, that's when I really felt like I got it. Dead. Francine, what about you? You wanted to bite on this one? I'd love to get your take on that.
Yeah, but I want to take it further. But yeah, when did I first feel like I was an adult? Maybe when my kids were in their 40s.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Well, your kids are in your 40s, I guess that, yeah, you have to be an adult at that point.
Me, the adult in the room, yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Two things I want to touch on here. One is I want to discuss numbers, and the other one is guns, okay?
Okay.
In relation to the shooting. Okay,
sure.
With numbers. Okay, they have these arbitrary cutoff points. Like, you could be making up to this amount of money, and you qualify for, let's say it was food stamps or tax break or whatever. It's up to here. Mm-hmm. One more dollar, and you don't.
Yeah, and you're
but
screwed.
Does that mean that you're yeah? I mean, but you're no better off than the other guy. So that kind of stuff has always been a real pebble in my shoe. It just doesn't work right.
So you think that everything, when it comes to income and cutoff, they should be not arbitrary. What I'm thinking, almost like a sliding scale where a benefit is reduced somewhat rather than just saying, you okay, so at $24,000, you're considered qualified and poor, let's say, right? But $24,001, you're done, right? Like, forget
it. It doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It's you know, a lot of people really have, I've talked to people that really need certain benefits and they can't get them because they're $1 or $3 or $4 over the mark, you know? And they're not going to live any better than the person below it. So
I hadn't really considered that, but that's an interesting take on it. But of course, you know, given that we are in the United States that is doing its best to make sure that everybody gets the opportunity to live at the expense of everybody else, right?
I understand all that, Bill. But the bottom line here, too, is you have to understand there are people in need, and there are more and more people in need these days because of what's been happening to our economy and our whole culture here. We're forcing people to become needy and dependent because we are taking away their ability to thrive.
Ah, you see, that is the root of it, right? And I guess politicians don't get elected when they help you have a good life. They only get elected if they got stuff for you, huh?
Yeah, that's, you know, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, it makes everything okay. It's just that's the way it is. And some people handle it, you know, well and with distinction and you know, dignity, and other people just go, oh boy, free shit, you know, or I'm sorry, oops, free stuff.
Oh, you didn't say that. Fortunately, I have a dump button, and thank you very much for making me use it.
Wait, one more thing.
What?
Okay, all right, this whole thing about, you know, with this attempt on Trump and how they didn't even search the grounds or anything like that, and then all these questions about how this guy had these guns. Okay, I believe this, you know, they really need to get rid of him because they are concerned that he could oust their candidate, and they are trying to get rid of him. And I think this person, as far as his guns are concerned, well, they didn't look for him deliberately, and then they probably gave him the dang gun. I mean, it's possible, you know. I mean, that's
where you're, boy, that's a deep rabbit hole.
I know, but I mean, we're living in a land that is just, you know, you got to watch where you walk or you're going to fall into one of them deep rabbit holes. They are everywhere.
Point well taken.
You know? All right, Bill, take care.
Thank you for that, Francine. 13 minutes after 7. Price of gold and silver, for that matter. Silver's been joining the party here recently. This is for Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers, Ashland, 1632 Ashland Street and 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass, 482-3715 to get your appointment. Just drop by, talk to Mark and Andre and the crew and get your physical gold and silver. Maybe you're looking at almost $2,600 gold and thinking you're going to sell. Maybe you bought it at $500 or $600. I don't know. Maybe you just want to free it up, or maybe you're like me wanting to still tuck away some wealth while you still can. And, you know, it's interesting. I was reading some stats that are saying that gold should actually be going down in price because there's more of it being mined than ever. Newmont Mining ended up having growth in gold, and yet the price continues to go up. There's been less gold going into jewelry because less jewelry being purchased right now. That was the other statistic that was brought forth. And so what's driving this? You know what it is? Central banks. The central banks, the biggest banks around the world, are buying gold hand over fist because they're concerned about the United States dollar. They're also concerned about the war risk, and this has been driving a lot of this right now. And so if the big money people are kind of concerned about that, maybe we should be, we little people who would just be the victims of problems with our currency. Think about that and talk to your financial advisor and maybe get yourself some backup insurance, too, for currency destruction and maybe war and various other things. Physical gold and silver, thousands of years of experience doing this, and it's done it. It's done a great job of protecting people. Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers, Ashland and Grants Pass. And on the web, you can find out more at fortunereserve.com.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
I'm Bill Payne, sending a shout out to Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. I would just like to say what an amazing experience it has been using Westfall Roofing. The team quickly looked at my project, gave me a prompt estimate. They did the repairs necessary and had my property re-roofed way faster than I was expecting. The staff was very courteous and very professional and answered all my questions before beginning the project. I would recommend them to anyone needing a roofing project done. They mean what they say. Need a new roof? Westfall gets it done.
CCB number 250730.
With so many working and doing business from home, it's good to know there's a community business center to help. A Street Print and Parcel is a one-stop shop for everything from large format printing and scanning to blueprints, architectural plans, and shipping. Their Studio 10 expansion offers passport photos, photo mounting, fine art scanning, art reproductions, signs and banners, negative and slide scanning, canvas prints, and so much more. Located in Ashland on A Street across from Ashland Hardware. Their motto, we create it, print it, pack it, and ship it. A Street Print and Parcel and Studio 10.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You know, the media, they're actually blaming Donald Trump. Oh, it's his. Oh, is he going to calm down his rhetoric now? I'm like, what? What? This is so sick. They're so ugly. This accused gunman hid in this sniper's nest for 12 hours before he was spotted in what seemed like the moment before he was about to pull the trigger. These two recent attempts on Trump's life follow a long list of prominent Democrats. Well, they've called for Trump's assassination. You know, I think an awful lot about blowing up the White House, you know, or how many Democrats have called President Trump the second coming of Adolf Hitler.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, remember the old way of shopping for custom window treatments, waiting around all day just to get an overpriced quote from a commission-pushy salesperson? Well, those days are over because Blinds.com invented the better way to shop for custom window treatments. Now, with completely virtual consultations, you're never going to have to deal with a salesperson in your home ever again. And whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or you prefer to use professional installation services, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver top-quality window treatments. And that means premium woven wood to motorized shades. They're my favorite and much more. You get unlimited custom window treatments installed all for one low cost. And at Blinds.com, there are never any hidden fees, no showroom markups. The price you see on the website is the price you pay. And with Blinds.com, they have their 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you're not happy with the style, the color, the fit, they're going to work it out for you. Shop at Blinds.com right now. Get up to 45% off. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on Southern Oregon's home for conservative talk. Mornings on KMED at 99.3 KBXG. Call Bill at 770-5633. That's 770-KMED. Here's Bill Myers.
Open phones on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, 770-5633. Share the pebble within your shoe. We can also talk about when did you become an adult? Not legally, but when did you feel like you were really an adult? I started when I was 18 because I left school, I didn't leave school. I graduated from school and then did not go to college, and much to the chagrin of my father, I think, at that time. But ended up going into broadcast school and then graduated broadcast school, boom, out to the West Coast, and then became the massive multimedia radio star that I am. Just kidding around with you. You know that. But for me, I think the final adulting, I know that's what they say now, younger generation say adulting, 23, got married, bought a house, didn't have a kid to the second marriage, but, still, that was it. You know, there was something about, those trappings, had a car, had a good job, paying property taxes, paying attention to what the local city was doing because of paying those property taxes, getting irritated at the city because of those property taxes being wasted on liberal stuff even then, in the 1980s. There's a little bit of that all going on. But for me, 18 was a good start. But, I was starving too much, I think, to have felt like a real adult maybe at 18 or 19. But even though, I did okay. But, the latest survey says real age adulthood is 27. 27. It sounds awfully high, but on the other hand, I don't know. Maybe if you spend 6-7 years getting a 4-year degree and you're in college all that time, maybe you don't feel like an adult if you're still living with your parents or whatever the case might be. I don't know. We could certainly talk about that if you wish. At the same time, though, another interesting story kind of connected to that adulting story. This survey here is in the LA Times, and young people are talking about why they don't want children. It's being conversed about all the time, according to the LA Times. And there was a series of interviews conducted with millennials and members of Gen Z, all of them people of color. Oh, how progressive of you, LA Times. But some grew up in low-income families and neighborhoods, while others were from middle or upper class. The feelings about climate change. Oh, my goodness. Some of the people in these interviews were so concerned about climate change, including a general sense of powerlessness and a lack of control over other people's actions, which directly translates into her fears about parenthood. With climate change, we're the driving force of things breaking down, but then also the planet's going to do what the planet's going to do, so it feels like kind of shameful to want to have children. Boy, I have to tell you, what an agenda these globalist toads have all been on. Getting the younger generation to focus on climate change, and then their communist school teachers to inculcate climate change, that pushing that agenda, which is really about, you'll save the planet. Just screw yourselves over. Don't have children and send we progressives and we globalist types more money. And if you do have a child, well, send them to fight in our wars. Gosh, they're actually buying it. We have young people not wanting to have children because of climate change. I wonder how these people are going to feel 20 or 30 years ago if they're not having kids right now because of fears of climate change. And, oh, it's just bad to have children because of climate change. Do you think they're going to feel duped about 20 or 30 years from now when they see that it was all for a lie? But climate changes. Yes, indeed it does. Boy, what do you think is going to happen then if it starts cooling, which actually there's more evidence that Earth could be cooling in the near future? the cycles are more friendly towards something like that. Do you think those childless people are going to be saying, man, I'll tell you, you know, it's too bad I didn't have those kids. Too bad I didn't have those kids, you know, back at that point. Now we're stuck. Yes, they all lied to me then, didn't they? We could talk about that, too. I think that's a pretty interesting conversation. Fear of climate change. We can't have children because fear of climate change. Yeah, what a great way to take your bloodline out of contention in the world, huh? Maybe that's part of the agenda. All right, let me go to line one. Hi, good morning. It's Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Who's this? Morning.
Bill, it's Matt.
Matt, how you doing?
You hit me where I live.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
On the adulting thing.
Yeah.
The summer before my junior year, my parents came to me and said, hey, your dad and I are buying a house across town. And I was freaking out because I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to have to go to my crosstown rival high school. There was a very strong rivalry. And I'm like, no, you know, all my friends are here. And they said, but we're going to let you stay and live in the house because they weren't selling the house I grew up in. You get to stay there with your three brothers.
Oh.
And, but it was funny because my dad said, he says, he was the tough one. He says, I would never have offered this to any of the other kids. But I figure you got three brothers here. They're all older than you. You can stay and keep going to high school. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
But if your grades drop, you're moving. And I said, I'm not saying this to brag. I was a straight-A student. I said, well, that's not fair. I said, are you telling me I can't get a B? No. We don't know. As long as you're getting A's and B's or all B, whatever it is, you can stay. But I had to go grocery shopping. So I'm 16 years old because I turned 16 right before my junior year. I had to go grocery shopping with my brother, which was freaking hilarious because we're in there arguing over peanut butter. I wanted the natural peanut butter, which was a little bit more. And because he was on his own paying his bills, he kept trying to buy Skippy and all the cheap stuff. And you'd see these moms who were shopping for their families laughing at us, arguing over the price of bread, peanut butter, jelly, macaroni and cheese.
Sure. Love it. I can see you getting into that argument with your brother. I can see that in my mind.
Oh, yeah. And so it worked out great. It worked out great. But I remember I wasn't like we had to be in bed at 11 o'clock when we were still in high school. Unless you had to study for a big test or something like that, you were in bed at 11. But I remember staying up and watching Johnny Carson every night after that. So that was the one rule that I broke. And I remember thinking about how adult I was to be able to stay up to 11:30 to watch Johnny's monologue. And that was a big thing. One more thing. I watched Idiocracy on your recommendation last weekend. I finally saw it.
Oh my gosh. So you finally saw President Camacho, right?
Yes. And what you just said about people not wanting kids, that's the intro to the movie, right?
Yeah.
You've got these yuppies saying, oh, it's just not the right time. It's just not the right time. Oh, we got war. We got this. We got that. We got that. So all the people of and I know this sounds terrible to say, of higher quality, right? People who could be having kids, you have the resources and everything else, decide not to have them.
Yeah, all the dumbasses reproduce.
And so that's what we were left with. And I got to tell you, Bill, I see that more real today than I ever have, that you have people who probably should be having kids aren't having them, and other people are knocking them out like crazy without a second thought to how they're going to pay for them or how they're going to raise them. And so that movie really rang true. I was laughing, thinking of you the whole time I'm watching that movie, and I'm like, my God, this is happening.
Now you understand then if you ever hear me say, Brondo, it's got electrolytes. It's got what plants need, right? Remember that?
You know? I don't know why the plants aren't growing.
Yeah. See, you know, in this Idiocracy future, folks, I don't think I'm giving away everything as we mention this. People are so stupid that they think that sports drinks, they take sports drinks and they put them on the crops. Brondo is the name of their sports drink of choice. But, you know, it's advertised everywhere. You know, put it on your plants because it's got electrolytes and apparently, you know, plants crave that, right, Brondo?
It's a silly movie. I'm not going to lie. It is a silly, silly movie.
Yes.
But you have to. It's free on YouTube. You have to watch it. If you can hear my voice, you have to watch this movie. It is hilarious because everything that's happening, it's an exaggerated version of what probably could happen.
Yeah.
But boy, it sure felt real.
Yeah. And well, it's kind of like how 1984 ended up being a book used as an instruction manual. And I'm hoping that Idiocracy is not the game plan of the globalist cabal in charge. Okay.
It's something else.
I'll tell you. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Glad you watched it.
I
okay?
sure did.
And remember, Camacho, President Camacho, 2025 or 2024 or whatever. Okay?
And the judge. The judge was wonderful.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. We'll see you later. Thanks, Matt. 728.
Looking forward to hunting season? Good Guys Guns is your hunting headquarters. From rifles to shotguns, ammo, and magazines, Good Guys Guns has everything you need to make this a great season. Looking for a 10mm handgun to keep you safe in the woods? Good Guys Guns has those too. And for those of you south of the border, Good Guys Guns carries lead-free ammo to keep you legal. Don't forget to sign up for their next concealed handgun class on October 5th. Good Guys Guns, the Valley's firearm leader. 4934 Crater Lake Avenue, Medford. Good Guys Guns.
This is Brent with Homan Built Deck and Fence, experts in custom deck and fence construction. As an authorized Trex Pro deck builder, we use the highest quality products for your deck, including custom handrail packages, drainage systems, and even deck lighting. As a small hometown business, we provide personalized design and creative solutions for your outdoor space. My website is homanbuilt.com, HOMANbuilt.com. Homan Built Deck and Fence. We build the best and fix the rest.
CCB 232-179. Got a mess with the IRS or a tax date with the state? You may need representation. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com. First Response Resolution, your local tax resolution experts in Eagle Point, defending your rights as a taxpayer. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com.
You hear more and more about identity theft in the news every day. That's because so much of your personal info is out of your control, like your insurance provider that has your Social Security number and your favorite retailer that has your payment details. If they get breached, your information's vulnerable. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second for threats. If your identity's stolen, they'll fix it guaranteed or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code PLAY at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Welcome to the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Give Bill a call at 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
7:30. Herman's going to join me here in a few minutes. Got a lot to talk about, including how, Portland is emptying out, hollowing out as we speak. Now, we certainly have our challenges here in Southern Oregon, but we'll talk a bit about that. And also some of that brouhaha over Michael Sellers over in Josephine County. Got to approach some of that. There are some agenda-driven people, in my view, trying to stir excrement in Josephine County. Just my opinion. But we'll have a little talk about that coming up, all right? Some emails of the day. Emails of the day sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. You need some specialized mouthwashes and water picks and special toothbrushes and things. They have a special kiosk there at Central Point Family Dentistry that they'll sell them to you at their cost. No markup at all. They just want to make sure you stay healthy. Get your appointment, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. It's right next door to the Mazatlan Mexican restaurant, okay? And Dale writes me the other day about this. Bill, another incident, another good outcome, on the Sunday assassination attempt. When are the progressives going to shut their lying mouths in causing these attempts? The guy is said to have had a GoPro camera on the fence, but no one has said anything other than for self-aggrandizement. I think it was more to show the Iranian regime that he was the one who got the job done and therefore wanted to collect the money for having done so. Interesting. You know, Dale from Medford, the funny aspect of this, or funny aspect, is that he did write a book in which he was more or less alluding that he was hoping that that Iran would take Trump out. Okay. Randy writes me from Ashland, says, Bill, second try, attempt number two on Trump at a golf course. The chance of us hearing the truth of the incident is slim to none. Could be the guy is a lone wolf or could have been recruited. We'll probably never know. The downside is that they'll try again until they succeed. Trump is a marked man. You better take this seriously. Terry from Wairika writes me, Bill, I am one of those people that Alan DeBoer reached out to when we had a serious problem with our car. Maybe you remember. I wrote you with a pebble in my shoe. My car had been sitting at the dealership for months waiting for parts. You read my letter on the air, and Mr. DeBoer heard it. He called you, got my name, and called me direct within an hour. I explained we had a trip in a few months. We were concerned that we wouldn't have a car. He said he'd look into that situation. Yeah, I remember there was some problems with parts during the COVID, the supply chain shutdown. Remember all of that? I remember that, Terry. I do remember this now. He said he'd looked into it, but absolutely promised we would take our trip. And when the time came, we still did not have a car, but TC Chevy gave us a Cadillac SUV, did the paperwork, making it legal for us to use it, and off we went. The DeBoers were amazing, and the entire staff there takes on the personality of them. Our whole experience was wonderful, and we're very grateful for the kindness shown to us by Alan DeBoer. Thank you very much, Terry. I appreciate you sharing that about us, okay? Steve writes me, too, regarding the Medford City Council, Bill, that vision statement is them telling you who they are. Believe me, or believe them, rather, when they do that. Yeah, Steve, that's a little bit scary. Is that kind of the implication? Yeah, this is our vision. Yes, this is our vision. Stack and pack housing, slow traffic. Well, there won't be slow traffic because people will just stop coming downtown, but then we'll continue to whine about why we don't have big businesses downtown, but yet we'll call it a business district downtown. All right, we're so confused, I know. It's 7:34. Email Bill at BillMeyerShow.com. News is sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletteConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Republican lawmakers in Oregon want Democratic Governor Tina Kotek to ensure the integrity of the state's voter rolls after 304 non-citizens were found to have been registered as voters. Oregon Republican Senator Daniel Bonnemaster to consider implementing measures similar to those in Virginia, where the governor directed state officials to certify the accuracy of voter lists by removing those who moved, died, or were unable to verify their U.S. citizenship. A Wasco County grand jury has indicted a transient for starting the Larch Creek fire that burned over 18,000 acres this summer. Prosecutors say 51-year-old Christopher Manili was squatting on property he didn't own and started the fire, which cost $14 million to contain. Wednesday at midnight, the fire danger level is decreasing from extreme to high in Klamath and Lake counties. The fire danger level applies to all private, county, and state wildlands protected by the Oregon Department of Forestry, as well as the Fremont Nima National Forest and BLM. Bill London, KMED.
7:35. Oh, Governor Abbott in Texas announcing a Texas crackdown on Venezuelan gangs. Wait a minute. I thought that was a conspiracy theory, according to the mainstream media. There's no Venezuelan gangs or anybody, just like there's, you know, no Haitians eating pets, you know? It's almost like you know it's true as soon as the mainstream reporters deny, well, this is your unfounded claims. Yeah, that's almost like an indicator. Just saying. Holly Martin, chair of the Republican Party, or GOP, in Joe County. How you doing there, Holly? What's on your mind?
Well, you know, there's so much pebbles in my shoe. It's kind of like a gravel pit right now. But on this particular subject of you know, the media right now, you know, with Trump and so much locally, is trying to control the narrative. You know, the left wing people generally running a lot of the media outlets are trying to control the narrative and get things to go the way they want. It started with when the charter went down in flames. That was a very left wing effort to try to take control of the government. It went down 2-1, and then they said, "Uh-oh, let's turn the Rubik's cube." The next thing, they're going to bring in the, you know, candidates and try to you know, change the complexion that way. This whole thing about John West is just one turn of that Rubik's cube. All these ethics violations, and by the way, none of them have stuck. They filed more than 15 ethics violations against him, and zero of them.
I'm going to talk with Herman about that here in just a minute, because I have gotten irritated to where now the ethics charge ends up being the accusations, the conviction in the court of public opinion. And there's lot of that going on in many places, but especially in Josephine County, it seems to be the action of choice right now. Everyone's coming.
Well, when you have a mayor whose husband is the city editor of the newspaper, and she and the city council and the commissioners don't really get along. They have a different idea about things. The city council would love to bring in a bunch of money and you know, build a shelter that we then get stuck with, you know, having to pay for the next, you know, million years, and establishing a standard that once you have it, you know, you can't back off from. We'd have, you know, we'd have a shelter that would cost a fortune. Can you imagine trying to insure a shelter like that? Can you imagine? You'd have drug addicts along with senior citizens, along with mothers with little kids, all in a shelter. Who would insure that?
I mean, I don't know if it's one of those things where the city would run it, or if would they turn it over to their favored nonprofit racket to do it. I don't know.
Well, I have, you know, my thoughts. There are some people that are now in, you know, city government would like to get that big job because, you know, they can kind of name their own salaries. But it is so that, and the county is trying to say, don't take those big grants to do that kind of thing because they're huge strings attached.
Yeah.
And, you know, once you sign off on it, and then you're responsible for all the strings that are attached, really watch what you're doing.
Yeah. All right. Hey, I can't disagree with anything you've said there, Holly. But, yeah, this is the real challenge, the Avenue attack, though. I'll talk with Herman Bearchigger about that here in just a moment, okay? Thanks for the call. Thanks for making it. And let me grab another pebble in your shoe call before we break and get ready for Herman. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
Hey, Bill, it's Lynn calling. How are you?
I'm fine, Lynn. What's on your mind?
A couple things. First of all, I want to sing Alan DeBoer's praises also and just tell a little story. And I do have a pebble, too, but... back when he was running for state senator, I got in touch with him about the vaccine issue because that was a big deal. The legislature was trying to take away parental rights to choose vaccines for school, you know, what they wanted their kids to go to school, what vaccines they wanted. And he didn't know me from Adam, but he talked to me. He listened carefully. He read the materials I sent him. And he continued to call me off and on about that issue even after he was elected. And I was just so impressed. It's so different from the usual eye rolling or they don't want to deal with it. And so anyway, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, so much better than the standard response from at least most of the political left, which was, what are you, anti-science? Why are you
right.
Anti-science?
And he was just like, gee, I don't really know about that topic. You know, educate me. And mm-hmm. I just was so impressed. And I thought he was a really good senator, too. I was sad when he decided not to run again. Okay, here's my pebble in my shoe.
Okay.
It just drives me crazy and when people are blaming the fire map for their insurance problems. It's an unfortunate coincidence, but the legislature passed a law. It is illegal. You can't do it. So if you really think that the fire map is why your insurance went up, then complain to the insurance commissioner. It's highly regulated. I assure you, it's that's not what's happening. In fact, the fire map reduced our rating on our property from high to medium because we're irrigated or to moderate, but our insurance company canceled us, so we had to find another company. And it's really sad that rates are going up, but in California, it's my understanding they limited the amount that rates could go up, and then companies just completely pulled out.
And then you also have the issue here, let's be honest, that we're essentially having to insure our properties against being burned by proximity to federal land quite often.
Right. And that's the real issue. That's the big problem that we have. But it's not the insurance companies. They're highly regulated. They don't care what college students at OSU think about wildfire risk. They lost a bunch of money. Just remember the last 5 years or so when we had horrible the last few years have been really good, but before that we had a number of years of horrible wildfires, and the insurance companies lost a lot of money.
And you also had arson fire being called wildfire. Alameda, yeah. As an example.
Yeah.
Billions
right.
Vaporized in there. And that wasn't a wildfire, but still... It still came out of the insurance company's pockets, and that's just the way it goes.
Exactly.
And so they got to make it up. I appreciate the call, and thank you for sharing that, Lynn. And coming up here in a couple of minutes, we're going to talk with Commissioner Bearchigger, dig back into the deep dive in politics. And boy, you think we have challenges, you got to look at Portland's real estate right now.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Drake's Paint and Supply, your only locally owned paint store, is now open in South Medford. The South Medford store offers the same top quality Benjamin Moore paint and stain and all the equipment and supplies the North Medford and Grants Pass stores offer, with the legacy of service and value Drake's is known for. Drake's Paint, your local Benjamin Moore dealer, with three Rogue Valley locations to serve you in North Medford on North Pacific Highway, Grants Pass in the Parkway Village, and now in South Medford between Central and Riverside, just north of where the two combine.
Millette Construction has been a general contractor for 40 years. For the last 20 years, they've specialized in foundation repair and replacement. If you have sloping floors, cracks in walls, and windows and doors that are hard to open, you have a foundation problem that's only getting worse. At Millette Construction, they not only fix your foundation and level your house, they solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Call Millette Construction for a free estimate. Visit MilletteConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
American Rancher Garage, United in Service. American Rancher Garage services most vehicles and offers state-of-the-art amenities, affordable pricing, and prompt service you can trust. If you're looking for a reliable, full-service automotive repair shop that provides old-fashioned service to keep you and your busy life moving, you've found it right here, just across the street from Elmer's on Biddle. Call, stop by, or text us through our website at AmericanRancher.com. 541-499-6673. American Rancher Garage, we are United Through Service.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Always appreciate you listening, no matter the time. Live 6 to 9 weekdays on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KBXG. I'm here for you. But life has a way of getting busy. So if you miss a show and you want to catch up, or you just have a different schedule, well, that's what my podcasts are for. The last 3 months or so of my shows available for free download and sharing on KMED.com or BillMeyerShow.com. Podcasts are sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They're helping keep you current. Find out about their services on ClouserDrilling.com.
Hi, I'm Charlene, owner of American Industrial Door, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
Quarter before 8, and Josephine County Commissioner Harriman Bertschiger, always willing to be the... Well, are you a willing lightning rod? Incoming lightning rod and bolts being thrown at you all the time, Herman? How are you? Welcome back.
Yeah, I don't know how to respond to that.
Okay, all right. I'm just having fun with you. You know that.
Yeah.
Hey, you had an interesting conversation because Lynn was just talking with me saying that the insurance agencies are highly regulated, and she's absolutely right about that. She works within that industry. And that they're not using the SB 762 wildfire map to cancel people's insurance. And you disagree with that. And why is that? So it's a different perspective. So I'm willing to listen to you.
So the insurance companies have their own maps. But if you're telling me that they're not looking at our map and taking in consideration and looking at the differences between our maps and their maps, I think you're sadly mistaken. So the insurance commission, they are highly regulated,
mm-hmm.
But what happened in California, she was correct. Insurance companies pulled out. Our insurance commission is very worried about insurance companies pulling out. I mean, very concerned. So I think I don't think that they're going to push back on the insurance companies too awful much because they are in fear of them pulling out of the state of Oregon.
Yeah. That certainly would be a problem. And in California, I find it interesting that they reduce the ability to raise premiums, which, of course, is price controls never work. We know that. You end up just having a shortage of whatever you put a price control on, right?
That's correct.
All right. All right, Herman, let's talk about politics and property values of another sort here. We certainly have our challenges in Southern Oregon, no doubt about that. But you were taking a look at what's happening in Portland, the hollowing out of Portland right now that you thought was duly worth of noting. What's happening up there right now, huh?
Well, the commercial people are just pulling out of Portland. And, you know, I've watched this for a long time. So if you go back to the 1940s, when Kaiser started his shipbuilding in Portland, and that's where Portland got a lot of their population. A lot of people came from all over the United States to work in the Kaiser ship plants. And when you have the ship plants, then there's all other kinds of manufacturing that supports the shipbuilding were also established. And if you go out to the docks now, it looks like a graveyard. There's nothing left. The industry has left. The terminal of Portland for shipping container is a fraction of what it used to be. And you go, you know, at one time we had steel makers, We had glass factories, all kinds of huge industry in Portland, and they're all gone now. The liberals have chased them away. They pollute. We have cleanups. We have this, and they have left. The manufacturing has left. Now, downtown Portland, which used to be just fabulous, the Rose City. When I was in the Senate, we used to go down there for dinner and meetings all the time in downtown Portland. It was gorgeous. It was beautiful. It's like a ghost town. You know, there's so much commercial real estate that is for rent or for sale that have been historical, and it's all gone. It's going. It's not the city it used to be, and this is all under Democrat leadership over the last 40 years.
Yeah, many iconic buildings, some of the biggest scrapers or skyscrapers or largest buildings in downtown Portland are sometimes 80% unoccupied. I was reading some stats. I think this was in Willamette Week, WWeek.com. Ended up digging into that.
That article I said, Bill, if you could put it up on your website so people can go and look at that, it just makes your heart drop. It's so sad. You know, Portland is one of the most beautiful cities. The way it sits there on the Willamette River, both sides of the Willamette River and the mountains in the background, it is a gorgeous city. It's a gorgeous setting. And to see it come to this point is just heartbreaking. It really is. And I'm not a city lover because I'm a country boy, but I loved Portland, but I'm not going back there.
Let me pose a theory out there. There's a part of me that almost, and I don't know if I want to engage in schadenfreude, you know, over something like this, you know, happy to see your political enemies suffering, you know, at this point. But there's a part of me that when I looked at the Portland progressives and the progressives of the northern part of the state being largely successful at destroying our industrial base here in southern Oregon, whether it's with timber lawsuits and we got spotted out, you know, all this kind of thing. Is it kind of like turnabouts, fair play? I mean, hey, you know, welcome to our world, Herman. What would you say?
Yeah, it's just the way they look at things. I mean, I watched Ted Wheeler, and I know Ted fairly well, and I watched what Ted has done in Portland, and I'm just like, what is wrong with you? You know, Ted comes from the timber industry. That's where his family wealth has came from.
Was he one of those self-loathing liberals, though, because he came from timber wealth? Just curious.
Well, he won't push back on the liberals there. You know, Ted's an interesting guy. He's not as liberal as you think he is, but he will not push back on the progressives. I would say, in my opinion, Ted Wheeler is a traditional Democrat, and he's not a progressive. However, he's so weak that he will not push back on the progressives, so they run him over.
Interesting.
And and I've watched it time and time again. I remember when he was Secretary of State. And they came into his office and changed the, you know, because he was on the Oregon land board, because that's the governor, the secretary of state, and the treasurer. And they handcuffed him to his desk, and they defecated in his office and all kinds of things. And I remember talking to him after that, and he was so upset. He was really upset over it, but he never in the press said one condemning word. Hmm. So that's how he is. I don't get it. But anyways, just look at poor Portland. My heart goes out to him because I just wish the citizens of Portland would take back their city from the progressives.
Yeah, I just don't know if I feel sorry for them at this point, though, Herman. You seem to feel much more affection for them than I can, because these same people have been trying to turn us into a theme park in which, you know, we're all working for the tourism industry at lower wages, so to speak, and then just existing on transfer payments in Jackson and Josephine County. Isn't there a case to be made that that's what they've wanted for us, what they've wanted to permit us to be able to do?
Yeah, I don't think it's the citizens. I think it's the politicians.
Ah.
But, you know, but I just, oh, you know, it was such a thriving, you know, community at one time. And, of course, Oregon was based off of natural resources, whether it was mining, agriculture, or the timber industry. They pretty much have dissolved the timber industry. They pretty much dissolved the manufacturing industry. We have no huge manufacturing in Oregon anymore, you know, compared to other states. We have no military bases. We have no big car manufacturing. We make a few parts here and there. But even those, you know, and the reason is, if I own a business that makes a widget for a Chevrolet or something, and I can make it cheaper in another state, what am I going to do?
You're going to move to another state. And I can't help but think, what role does even that 1% corporate activity tax play in the deindustrializing of Portland and the rest of the state? Anything to blame there?
It's just another straw in the camel's back. There's many straws, and eventually you put another one on and it breaks the camel's back. So, yeah, the corporate tax, and, you know, my dear friend, Senator Betsy Johnson, she was the deciding vote on that. And if I could tell you how many times she has told me, Herman, you were so right. I wish I would have never voted for that thing. Because her and I debated that in my office many, many times before that day, and she was on the fence. And she finally caved in because they promised her so many things to her district, and then that never happened to her district. So,
how many times have we heard that with people negotiating with the power structure in Salem? Hey, we promise to give you this stuff until after you do what we want you to do, and then, oh, oopsie, as we kind of forget about you then. Screw you over.
Right. And I mean, her and I had debates where she was in tears. That was a hard decision. I remember that day on the floor, and she was the casting vote that moved that forward. And since then, if she's told me once, she's told me 100 times how much she regrets that. So,
speaking of that, do you think that the big bump in corporate activity or the corporate tax that some progressives are wanting to do, so that way that they can write the $1,600 checks to people every year, you know, everybody that lives in the state of Oregon? I noticed that both Republicans and Democrats are against this. Do you think that has a chance of passing in spite of that?
Well, the Republicans don't like it because it's just not the right thing to do. And the Democrats don't like it because they don't know how in the hell they're going to pay for it. Okay?
Oh, so, I just thought that the reason the Democrats didn't like it is because they want to be able to choose who gets the money, not have it just going to people who live here.
It's so much money. If this new tax doesn't cover it, they're going to have to dig into their haversacks and find the money. So it scares the hell out of them.
Oh.
They don't like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
You know, I've always said, you know, as the vice chair on finance revenue, when they'd come up with these schemes, I'd always say, the thing you never consider is the behavior of the citizen. They're going to change their behavior because of this policy. And what I'm referring to on this particular incident is businesses just simply leave the state.
Well, let's look at what happened in Josephine County with Dutch Bros, right?
There
Dutch Bros,
go.
Local company.
Yep.
Now, I guess they've donated their old corporate headquarters to some nonprofits here, I guess, in Southern Oregon. That's all fine and good. But they moved their business out to, what was it, Arizona, right?
Well, you also have the corporate taxes and the income taxes.
That's what I was getting at. You know, to have corporate activity taxes, those would tend to hit these big companies like Dutch Bros pretty hard. And so they say, why would we want to be there, right?
Well, it's also the income taxes for your employees. Say they're no longer, you know, exposed to 9.9% income tax in Oregon.
Yeah.
And so, but, you know, I think the biggest move I've seen in the United States is Boeing moving out of Washington.
Although they are trying to negotiate with the striking machinists right now that they would build the next plane in Seattle if they just come back to work.
But Washington is a very expensive place to do business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It doesn't have the income tax, though. Well, I remember when I moved from Washington, when I was working in Seattle, then moved to Medford back in the early 1990s, I didn't realize how badly that income tax was going to hit me. As I've been so used to, you know, not having an income tax. And then, listen, when I got my first paycheck from KBOY back in the day, I thought they were making a mistake. I thought there was a mistake made in my paycheck. It was so much lower than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, well, you're exposed to it's very progressive, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But even a person making minimal wages pays into the Oregon income tax system. Very progressive.
All right. Before we take off here, Herman, I want to make sure before we run out of time, though, and this has to do with the brouhaha over Michael Sellers. He's your emergency manager and also IT guy at Josephine County Government, okay? And there are a lot of folks that are throwing a lot of darts in there because of him collecting a salary from, State Senator Art Robinson. He's still the chief of staff there. And so they're making a big deal about this. What is the story? Are you having any trouble with Michael there? Or is he doing the job as far as the commission is expecting? Give us the take that you can, okay?
So, as you know, Michael Sellers is my chief of staff for 8 years. He also worked for me on my campaign. He's an extremely competent person. As at the county level, he's doing his job and then some. He's just a taskmaster type of person. He always has been. As for being working for the senator, he's always had another job when he worked for me as chief of staff. And many legislative assistants at the legislature have other jobs because they really only at the Capitol. Some of the LAs that live in the Salem area, they come into the Capitol, you know, during the week from time to time. But a lot of them that are in outlining areas do not, because you can work remotely. So for him to be working for Robinson and for the county does not surprise me, because the entire 8 years he worked for me, he had another job, and he was able to do both.
Okay, well, is Josephine County being shortchanged by this?
Absolutely not. There's no deficiencies in his work or his, you know, what he does or anything. He does a good job. He's a very, very smart, and he's very organized. Let me tell you, that guy, he used to amaze me how he could get things done for me. Even when I was traveling, you know, in Europe or something for the Senate or Washington, D.C., Michael took care of everything, and he took care of me wherever I was. He used to amaze me. I go, how do you do this? Mm-hmm. But that's how he is. That's just the kind of guy he is. He's very organized. He's very smart, and he's very hardworking.
Okay. And the other question here, what is the latest here with, the latest avenue of attack of people who are not fans of you and or John West is to make ethics charges, lots of them. And then, in my opinion, this kind of stuff in Josephine County, especially as of late, the accusation ends up being the conviction in the court of public opinion. I have a bit of concern about that. So what's happening?
Well, that's what happens, you know. Ethics complaint is filed against you. The newspaper puts in ethics complaint, bully complaint. And then as the time goes on and you go through the process and the ethics complaint is dismissed or the bully complaint is dismissed, you'll never see that in the newspaper. So in the reader's mind, oh, they got ethics complaints, and then there's never a follow-up story saying they're dismissed.
Oh, because there were ethics charges, hence they must be unethical people. Right.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the allegation becomes the reality. We just had two ethics complaints dismissed on Friday again, but it took 4 hours. I was, you know, on Zoom with the Ethics Commission it took 4 hours of my time. It's harassment. Bill, when I did the walkout, when I led the walkout to stop cap and trade, when we came back, I had so many ethics complaints that make your head spin. And what I had, I mean, I was a lot of them. And so I had to create a defense fund, which is very specific and difficult to do. And I had to do that. Then I had to hire attorneys, and then we had to, and it took months and months and months. But at the end of the day, and it took, oh, I don't know, $50,000-$60,000 in attorney fees. At the end of the day, when we got all done, every single ethics complaint was dismissed.
Did that get reported?
No.
Of course not. No. Okay. All right. No. So this is the way the game is played here in Southern Oregon right now. So just understand this, that unless there's some reason that someone is convicted or that there it is found to be an ethics problem, it's usually lawfare. That's what's being done right now, right?
Anybody can file an ethics complaint. Anybody can make something up and say, I seen this or I seen that or I heard this or I hear that and it's like we had an ethics complaint. You know, obviously, Commissioner West and Commissioner Bertschinger had a secret meeting inside their office. Okay, what's your evidence? Well, I just know they had to have.
Uh-huh.
They had. It's never, I seen them, I heard them, this is what they said. It's never that. It's just, they had to have one.
Yeah,
I just know they had to have one.
You know, the other thing that I don't know if you can comment on this or not, but something that I asked one of the people writing an article that came out a few days ago that was making some noise in Joe County is how did they get copies of Michael Sellers' personnel records? And I thought that was privileged information that is not supposed to be released to the public. Am I wrong? Right or wrong about that?
You are correct, and we are investigating that because there's only a couple people that have access to those records,
mm-hmm.
and we're trying to get to the bottom of that because it's against the law. And so we're shocked that we don't know if the information in that article is even true, though, Bill. People can write anything. What is the Grants Pass Tribune? Where did that come from? You know, and so you don't even know if this stuff is true. However, the interesting part is when you're a politician, anybody can say anything about you. You can't do much about it. It's just how it is being a politician. But when you're a private person and people start saying things about you that aren't true, that's a different that's a different game.
Hmm. Well, you can express an opinion about someone.
Yes, but stating something as facts is different than expressing an opinion.
Okay, got it. All right. Well, I'm going to get the popcorn. Be interesting to watch this in the coming weeks here. Herman, we appreciate the call as always. We'll talk to you next week. All right? You be well.
Take care, Bill.